אתם מאזינים למיקלי ועד כוש, שיחות גבוהות לאנשים עם שאיפות, בהנחייתם של דני בראונשטיין ויעיר רביב. הנה זה מגיע.
מה נשמע, דני?
כל טוב,
אתה. בסדר גמור.
יש לנו אורח מאוד מרתק ומעניין היום.
בהחלט.
יש קשר אישי אליו, קוראים לו סייבו שן, בעצם הקים את מותג הווייפ הראשון שלו לפני 8 שנים, אותו מכשיר שאני ניסיתי ושינה את חיי, וגרם לי להקים את החברה שאני הקמתי. מכשיר שולחני שיכול להתאים גם לפרחים וגם למיצוי קנאביס. מכשיר שמשלב בעיקר זכוכית וחימום מסוג קונבקשן, בעצם חימום עם אוויר חם, שנדבר עליו גם בפרק, לאחריו. בקיצור, שיחה מעניינת ומרתקת על עולם הווייפינג.
או בעברית עידוי?
עידוי. למה עידוי היא שיטה יעילה, בריאה, טובה, טעימה וחסכונית יותר לצריכה של קנאביס?
הרבה יותר טובה לאור הפנים, מסתדר?
כן. לא חשבתי על זה, אבל לעישון יש נזק לא רק לריאות, אלא גם לאור שלנו, אז בהחלט לאור הפנים. ואני חושב שזה פרק מאוד מעניין לכל המעשנים שבינינו, שנשבר להם כבר מהעשן ומהריח, ומכמות הכסף שהם מבזבזים, והם מחפשים אלטרנטיבה נקייה, זולה יחסית וטעימה, שעדיין תיתן להם חוויה דומה לאותה חוויית עישון. וזה מה שחשוב, ואנחנו גם נדבר על זה בפרק.
אני חושב שמעבר למי שמתעניין בעידוי, הפרק הזה הוא מאוד מאוד טוב ליזמים שרוצים להיכנס לתחום הקנאביס, הוא נותן פה כמה טיפים טובים. אני לא הכרתי את סייבו לפני זה, אבל השיחה איתו הייתה מרתקת. הגישה שלו מאוד מצאה חן בעיניי, ומאוד מאוד אהבתי להקליט ולדבר עם הבן אדם הזה. השיחה היא באנגלית, אז למי שלא מבין, תקפצו משהו כמו 50 דקות קדימה, ואנחנו נעשה ריקאפ קצר בעברית על הנקודות העיקריות שדיברנו בפרק הזה. אז לרעיון, דני?
כן, תהנו.
תהנו.
I'm very excited to have a very special guest today, who is also a friend and one of my biggest influencers in the industry, Mr. Sabo Shan, founder and CEO of VapeXL, Hanu Labs, and Burner Labs. Sabo is here to talk about one of my favorite methods of cannabis consumption, vaping. Sabo, thanks for being here today.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for having me on the show.
First, where are you in the world right now?
I am in San Mateo, California, which is 15 minutes south of San Francisco.
I'm here in Los Angeles, and my co-host Yair is in Tel Aviv, Israel.
Oh, international. Thank you. Thank you for joining all the way from Israel. Well, I guess you guys are always on the podcast, so. But thank you for having me on the podcast.
Absolutely, man. You founded and developed 3 different vape brands in the past 8 years. Can you tell us about your journey in the vaping world and what led you to this category in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely. So in college, in 1997, that's when I started consuming cannabis. And I was always like, you know, I was always one of the smallest kids in class, and I always wanted to be an athlete. So I was very concerned about smoking because I heard like smoking would stunt your growth. So I tried cannabis. I really loved it. And I didn't like the smoking aspect. So I started researching online healthier and safer ways to consume cannabis. And I found this company in Canada called BC Vape. And they made this vaporizer that more or less looked like a upside down fish bowl. And it had a soldering iron with a bowl on top that you would sprinkle your herb on. I tried it. It didn't work that great, but it did still give me the same effect or close to the same effect as smoking, but my lungs, you know, didn't feel that same type of burn. So I was very much attracted to this type of technology. And from 1997 to 2011, you know, I probably bought over 100 different vaporizers. Wow. And through the purchases of these vaporizers, you know, I started discovering, you know, what worked well, what didn't work well. And ultimately, you know, after college, I started off working in tech. You know, I was very lucky. I worked for 5 companies that all had successful exits. And ultimately, you know, I started feeling like if this is the dream, of Silicon Valley to work at companies and have a successful exit, then, well, it's kind of like my nightmare, really. You know, I didn't feel much fulfillment. My bank account grew. And I remember reading a quote that success without fulfillment is the ultimate failure. So instead of feeling great about all of these successes, you know, it really just made me like question my existence. What am I here on this planet for? It's not to just earn money, because we just did that. And they're really, actually, to be honest, like after the second exit, by the third exit, there was no happiness. The only happiness was knowing that there was more money in my bank account, so that I had more, you know, kind of like a cushion to survive on. But, you know, it really made me think about, you know, what makes me happy. And, well, you know, I was telling my wife this, and she looked at all the different vaporizers I had bought, and she said, I think, you know, your passion is vaporizers. Look at all of these machines that you've bought, and they're just collecting dust. Why don't you try to create one? And even though I worked in tech and I'm Asian, I'm not an engineer. You know, I worked on the sales and business development side. So I had a good idea, but I didn't know who I could, you know, go to make these products. So I just started going on these vaporizer forums online, you know, asking people, you know, hey, you know, like, I'm not an electrical engineer, I'm not a mechanical engineer, but these are my ideas. How do we make these ideas into a reality? And through the magic of the internet, you know, I met a bunch of different engineers and like laminar flow, thermal dynamics, you know, what have you. And most of these guys were very, very happy to share their knowledge with me. It's kind of amazing. You know, I don't know if that tactic would work today, but I more or less crowdsourced a lot of the great ideas that went into our vaporizers and used that as my learning experience.
How long ago was that?
So I started going onto these forums in 2008 to collect that information. And so we worked on the VapeXhale Evo for about 3.5 years before we launched it. You know, I was still working a day job during that time. The cannabis industry was, well, it was still very, very early. You know, all of these things, you know, we had to say this is for some sort of, you know, some sort of legal herb. This isn't for cannabis. And then finally, when we created the device in 2013, or we created a prototype, that's when we entered it into the Cannabis Cup and ended up winning our first Cannabis Cup. So yeah, it was a very long journey. And for a very long time, I just thought that creating the vaporizer, it wouldn't be so much like, you know, a business for us, but it would be something that could provide some extra income for my wife and myself. You know, that was the original plan back in 2009, you know, just because, you know, at that point, everything cannabis was, I mean, we did have medical cannabis here in California, but you know, there wasn't anything close to like a legal market where we thought, oh, we could run a business making these things. We just thought, okay, if we could sell a couple $1,000 over these things every month, then we'll have extra spending cash for our family.
What was the initial idea you had there for the vaporizer? What you wanted to do different?
So when I was younger, you know, I even though I started off with a vaporizer, you know, I tried joints, I tried pipes, I tried bongs, and bongs were like my favorite way to consume cannabis. You know, it wasn't just that it was healthier than normal smoking because there was the water filtration, but I found that the water filtration would moisturize the smoke and then making the smoke a lot smoother, so I could take much larger inhalations with a water pipe. So I knew that when I was going to create a vaporizer, that having some sort of moisture conditioning as part of it would be very important. And then the other part was that, you know, most of the vaporizers that I bought gave you very like thin vapor, or the flavor kind of tasted like burnt popcorn. So we really wanted to make sure that the delivery, the flavor, the impact that it had on you was very similar to smoking, because I had a very hard time convincing my friends that vaping was better than smoking. You know, like when you're in your 20s, yeah, you just think you're indestructible, right? And you're just like, well, I just want to get super high. So unless this vaporizer gets me super high, I'm not going to use it. So I guess, you know, the inspiration for this device was to let's make sure that it has moisture filtration to make it smoother. And then let's make sure that it gives you like that strong kick that experienced cannabis users expect when they're smoking a blunt or smoking a bong or taking a dab.
Dan, this is the device I tried at your place?
Correct. That's the device.
Very nice, man. Very nice.
So for our listeners who don't really know, can you explain what is vaping? Please give us an overview of you know, the different methods, SEP categories, and devices available in today's market.
Oh, wow, wow. What a loaded question, but I'll do my best to keep it concise. Most people are familiar with smoking. That's combustion. So the difference between combustion and vaporization is that when you combust something, there's actually a chemical change that occurs. Usually there's like a lot of carbon and soot that's left over. In the act of vaporization, what you're doing is you're taking a solid and you're turning that solid into a gas. So a lot of the tar, the carcinogens that are available in smoke, they aren't present in vapor because there's no chemical reaction that's happening. You're simply changing the state of the cannabinoids from a solid to a gas. And actually, the more accurate term for this is sublimation, because vaporization actually goes from solid to liquid to gas, and cannabinoids go straight from solid to gas, which sublimation is the more accurate term. But I think sublimation is kind of like a mouthful to say every time you want to say it versus vaping. And then as far as vaporizing goes, there's three different methodologies right now. There's conduction, convection, and induction. So conduction is when you have surface-to-surface contact, like the herb is sitting on top of the heat source. That was the very first type of vaporizer. So I kind of, the closest analogy to combustion is like grilling or frying your food. You know, like
your conduction, food is actually, you mean not combustion, conduction.
Conduction, correct, yep, conduction. Yep. So the surface-to-surface contact, you know, it's a great way to transfer the heat, but what happens is that the bottom of your herb cooks quicker than the top, so sure, you get uneven cooking. The next form of vaporization is convection. That's when you use hot air, and this is a system that the VapeXL Evo works off of, is you generate hot air, and then you push that hot air through your concentrate or your flower. This is a much more thorough, efficient, and gentle way to heat your herbs, and it's the preferred method for high-end vaporists. Now, the more recent technological advance is induction vaporizer. So induction is when you utilize a heating coil, and it actually, induction coil doesn't produce any heat itself, but if there's a piece of metal inside the induction coil, you could heat that metal up, and it's basically a way to do conduction with less wattage and less voltage. My favorite style is convection, and I think, you know, I just saw Yair utilizing a vape pen. You know, that is also a different method of conductive vape as well.
So when we compare vaping to smoking cannabis flowers or concentrates, what are the main advantages and or disadvantages of vaping over smoking? Is there any research specifically focused on cannabis vaping?
Yeah, very good question. So Normal did a study back in 1997 comparing vapor to smoke. What's interesting is this study hasn't been replicated since then, but I've seen more and more labs starting to get the proper equipment where they could take the aerosol from a vapor and measure what's in it. But the very good news is this previous study was done with a balloon style vaporizer, so something similar to a volcano, where they compared the cannabinoid content and the tar and carcinogen content. And in the vaporizer sample, it was 97% THC, 2% hydrogen, and then 1% miscellaneous. In the smoke sample, it was 13% THC and 87% tar and carcinogens. So if you look at those numbers, it's a pretty big difference as far as the impact on your body. And I believe that in almost every facet, I would say vaporization is superior to smoking. In the past, I would have said smoking was stronger, but now that we have dabs, and dabs are a form of conductive vaporization, I would say that even in potency, you know, vaporization is now stronger. So vaporization has advantages in the vapor to smoke ratio, or, you know, tar to THC ratio. Vaporization also has advantages in the flavor profile, because you're actually tasting, you know, the terpenes versus like a burnt version of the terpenes. Some people that started off with smoking still prefer the taste of smoking, because, you know, it's what they're accustomed to. But most people that have vaporized for, let's say, 2 weeks straight without smoking, once they do vaporization for 2 weeks straight, I think their palate gets recalibrated into understanding, oh, the limonene should taste like this, the myrcene should taste like this. And this extra kind of body that you used to get from the smoke, you don't miss that taste anymore. And yeah, and then the last part was just, you know, the day-to-day impact on your body. You know, I found that when you're smoking, it really dries out my skin. When you're vaporizing, you know, it doesn't do the same thing to your skin. Like, you know, I'm 43 years old. I know I'm Asian, so like I look young for my age, but still at 43, like look at me, you know, like I could go to like a college campus and pretend I'm a young professor or something.
Absolutely.
You know, and when I look at my other Asian friends that smoke, I mean, they look like middle-aged men, you know, they look like my dad. I'm just like, man, I feel like I'm hanging out with my dad because you guys smoke all the time, you guys have hella wrinkles. And when I look at myself, like I don't use no like any of like my wife's super expensive like facial creams and lotions, you know, I just wash my face with soap and that's it, you know. And I really believe, you know, when I look at other people that almost predominantly vaporize, like they have like younger looking skin, they don't have like, you know, phlegm in their throat all the time from smoking all the time. And yeah, and now with concentrates, now we could get just the same potency that you get from like ripping like a big bong and none of the negative physical impacts on your body.
Yeah, well
said. Amazes me to this day that there are people in the industry who keep smoking all the time. Like, why don't you move to vaping? Especially people that are like for years in this industry.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I always feel kind of like, I mean, obviously my business is vaporization. So like, you know, when I talk about vaporizing being better than smoking, I always feel like, well, of course I'm saying that. Like I run a vaporizer company. I benefit from saying that. But, you know, at the same time, you know, like I don't smoke cigarettes. I tell my friends, you know, we're in our 40s now, like smoking cigarettes, like what benefit are we getting from it? And I feel the same way, you know, like in an industry where we talk about health and wellness all the time, but then I see like nurses smoking joints and smoking cigarettes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this just doesn't make sense to me. And they'll always tell me that, like, you know, there are some cleansing effects to the lungs that cannabinoids have. But I always say, well, if they have cleansing effects, but cannabis has 20 times more tar than tobacco, isn't that like taking two steps forward and one step back? With vaporization, we could take two steps forward and maybe just 1/10 of a step back and really give our body, you know, the cannabinoid therapy that we need, minus all the tar, carcinogens, and things that our bodies don't want.
Well said, well said. So I want to go back to the previous question, actually, and ask you more about the set categories and the different devices that are available in today's market. Most of the Israeli crowd are not aware of this technology, so just give us an overview of, you know, the vaping categories, if you will.
Oh, yeah. So there's desktop vaporizers. You know, so the desktop category is similar to like desktop computers. You know, these are things that sit on your desk that you have to plug into the wall. They tend to give you a much better user experience, but the portability, the stealthiness, the discretion, you know, these aren't things that desktop vaporizers do very well. But seemingly now that the world is really starting to shift and change, you know, like I think that people are, well, you know, for my generation, like my wife didn't like my desktop vaporizers on the coffee table. You know, she would say like, hey, you know, like if people come over, like I don't want it on the coffee table, you know, put it away. You know, these days, I'm not saying
volcano.
It would be a volcano or even our own unit, you know, she would say like, you know, like it just, you know, it still looks like some sort of like college smoking device, you know, and that's one of the things that I'm starting to see is the industrial design on these devices are changing quite a bit, you know, like our vape pen, I like to think of it as like, it's just as much art as it is like a piece of hardware, you know, and we wanted it to kind of have this organic shape. But, before I get off topic, so there's the desktop vaporizers that, you know, much like a desktop computer has more horsepower than your laptop or your tablet, you know, these devices tend to give you the best user experience, but, you know, don't have the portability or the discretion that most people want. The next category is the portable, you know, flower/concentrate vaporizers. You know, before it was just portable flower vaporizers, but it looks like almost all the new devices that I see, you know, you can do flower vaporization and some concentrate vaporization. Now, whether they do both well or one better than the other, you know, it all depends on which device that you get. You know, I like most of the main brands, like, you know, the Storz & Bickel, Mighty and Crafty, you know, those are ones that I still very highly recommend. You know, PAX makes a great device. DaVinci makes a great device. And there's a whole bunch of like really small manufacturers that, you know, if you go onto like vaporizer forums, you'll learn about these guys like DynaVape or Underdog have done really well. And then the third category, which is what I'm focused on right now, is the vape pen category. You know, vape pens were things that I historically didn't really like all that much just based on the technology that they utilize. But back in 2016, a company called C-Cell came up with a ceramic wickless design that was more akin to like a very good conduction vaporizer. So the great thing about these vape pens is there's virtually no heat up time. They're very stealthy. You could bring them wherever you want. You could load your own cartridge, or you could buy pre-filled cartridges at the store. So, and the reason why we're focusing on the vape pen market now is that when my mom or my in-laws come over, you know, they'll use the Vape XL Evo. One day when I saw them leaving, I saw my mother-in-law take out her vape pen and use the vape pen. And I was like, I was kind of hurt, to be honest, but I realized like, you know, for someone of her age, like, you know, just doing all the stuff that we do as like a cannabis ritual that we enjoy, you know, like shredding the herb, rolling your own joint or any of those things. Like when you're an older person that is using cannabis for medicinal and therapeutic benefits, like that ritual, I don't think is as important to you. You just want to take your medicine, be able to do it in a way that doesn't make you look like, you know, you're some young punk that's like just smoking weed on the street. And, you know, ultimately, I mean, this is what I designed for them was like, hey, you know, you could put this in your purse. It doesn't look like a vape pen. You could rip it with the mouthpiece on. You know, we made sure that our devices were lead, mercury, cadmium, and arsenic free, which we were the first company in California to pass category 3 testing and really improve on this technology that is very accessible, that's very cheap, but also I found had a bunch of problems. Like we had the vape crisis, right, where people were getting all sorts of pulmonary diseases. Part of it was due to, you know, vitamin E acetate being in the oil. And the other part was just that the hardware within these pens, you know, there was lead, there was mercury, there was cadmium, there was arsenic. And if you puff on these things long enough, like that stuff starts building up in your body. So these were things that I saw that other companies weren't doing. You know, when we started looking at the materials, we were like, oh shit, we could have all the best materials and our total cost of, or our total bill of materials will only be like 15 cents more than our competitors, you know, if we do everything right. And that's when I started realizing, man, you know, like we really need to focus on this segment because this segment is growing so quickly. A lot of people are buying hardware that they think is good for them, but they're actually slowly damaging their bodies. So let's put this out into the mainstream. Let's make sure people know about this new technology that is only, I mean, we are more or less charging the same price for our hardware. And hopefully by having, you know, these accessible devices that are designed very well, that are also very affordable, we could give cannabis users an option that gives them the flavor, the taste, the style, and then doesn't break their budget at the same time.
We're talking both about the cartridges and the batteries, or just about the cartridges?
Both the cartridges and the batteries. So the company that I'm working on right now is called Burner Lab. We make devices, basically batteries for cartridges. And then our parent company, AVD, they make the cartridges. Now, the main difference between our battery and other batteries, I wish I had one in front of me, but I don't, is that, okay, so if you look at the standard stick battery right here, like it has 3 heat settings on it. Can you guys guess, you know, what low, medium, and high correlate to?
3.6 is low, then you have probably 3.8 and 4.1.
Yeah, hey, you are very smart. You're very smart. So it was actually a trick question. It was a trick question. They don't correlate to any temperatures. It only correlates to how much voltage is going into the atomizer. So low, medium, and high, that only correlates to how quickly the atomizer heats up. So if you're taking 1 or 2 hits, no problem. But if you're like me and Dan and we want to take 5 or 10, or we're with a group of people and we're taking 20 hits, well, the atomizer just gets hotter and hotter and hotter. And this is why, you know, the terpenes, the flavor kind of disappears when you're halfway through. It's because the atomizer gets so hot, it boils off all the terpenes. And worst case scenario, if too much voltage goes into this, you just fry the atomizer and it doesn't heat up anymore. So, you know, a lot of dispensaries right now get returns. They're just like, hey, this cartridge stopped working. I don't know why. The dispensaries are very worried about losing customers, so they just replace it for free. And our device has something called a smart pulse algorithm. So we have two algorithms set up. One is for terpene preservation. One is for full cannabinoid release. And basically, just like it sounds, instead of sending constant voltage to the atomizer, we're pulsing the voltage in a way where we're reaching a certain temperature and maintaining that temperature very precisely within 2 to 3 degrees of the temperature that you're looking for. And by doing this, not only do you preserve the terpenes, you preserve the smoothness of the cartridge. And then the last thing is you prevent any blown out cartridges. So having kind of simple things like this in our device, you know, have really helped producing something that is very affordable that gives the user a much better user experience. And here's another thing that we also added, which was, why do you think airplanes don't allow you to take vape pens onto the airplane?
I assume because people were afraid of the smoke, of the vape.
No, the battery and the chances of the battery to explode.
Yes. Oh, man, you guys, I love talking to you guys. You guys are definitely much smarter than the average bear. Yeah. So I thought it was like Yair said, you know, like they didn't want you smoking on the plane. But the truth is, in the pressurized cabins, a lot of these batteries end up like leaking, you know, like you'll see like that red liquid leak out, or worst case scenario is they'll explode. So we looked into that and we realized that these types of devices usually have B and C grade batteries in them. We put A grade batteries into our device. This prevents like these batteries from like exploding. And then also every once in a while, you'll notice when you're charging these things, like they just stop charging for like no reason. It's like these B and C grade batteries, you know, they're buying these things that are like 5 cents cheaper, but you know, just perform like way worse. So we were like looking at these things going, oh shit, you know, we could just make these incremental improvements on our side. The customers are going to get a much better user experience. The stores are going to have less returns. And then because we have our own factories and our own design teams, instead of designing, you know, like plain looking devices, man, I don't have one in front of me, but we could design things that look much more beautiful, much more aesthetically pleasing, you know, things that like your wife or your significant other would be like, oh, okay, this looks pretty cool. It doesn't look like just another smoking device that I don't want to have out in the open.
And the cartridges will only work with your batteries?
No, actually, the Alpha Pen is fully compatible with 510 cartridges. We recommend utilizing companies that utilize AVD cartridges, but that's not necessary. You know, C-cell cartridges or any 510 cartridge will work well. And as a matter of fact, we're putting together a campaign right now because we sent a lot of these batteries to the head of extractions at various concentrate companies like Bloom Farms or Moxie or Friendly Farms. And once they put their cartridge onto these smart pulse batteries, I mean, these people could instantly tell, you know, there's a difference. And, you know, I feel very kind of like, man, I'm overselling this thing because it's $25. But virtually everyone that utilizes this pen, you know, and they do like the Pepsi challenge next to another vape pen, you know, they feel, they taste, and they sense the difference, you know. And these like tighter algorithms, like I said, you know, these are software based. So it's not like another piece of hardware that we needed to add into the battery. You know, we were able to do it with software, and that way it didn't increase any of the cost of the device. And, you know, actually the Alpha Pen, the first algorithm was put into the Hanu Stone, and we had a hard time competing against PAX because they raised literally like 100 times more than we raised. So on the marketing side, it was hard to have a closed loop system like the Hanu Stone compete with the PAX. But when we introduced the Alpha Pen, which shares a lot of the technology as the Hanu Stone, but is 100% compatible, we started seeing a lot of great traction within the industry and a lot of people really loving these products.
Nice. So we spoke about technology a lot, and I want to combine two questions because we don't have too much time. It seems like technology is moving super fast these days and affecting the entire industry from AI to nanotechnology. So let's think 5 years forward, what are the latest trend today, and what do you see the future of vaping and its devices?
Oh, very good question. Very good question. So, you know, especially when it comes to hardware, obviously, you know, everything is becoming more connected. We live in a data-oriented world. You know, we've already seen the first vaporizers that collect consumption and usage data. You know, devices like, oh man,
what's
that one called? It's called the, dude, it's super expensive. Oh, it's called the Airgraft. I don't know if
the Psyche.
Yep, the Psyche also.
Yeah, the Psyche, the Israeli company. And what's the second one? The Air what?
Airgraft. A-I-R-G-R-A-F-T.
And it's flour or oil-based?
This one's oil-based. They just did a deal with Field Extracts. You know, what's interesting is I went from this from two different perspectives. I have not tried the Psyche yet, but I have tried the Airgraft. And, you know, I don't think this is too controversial to say. I'm happy to say it. You know, most people don't think the Airgraft gives you that great of a user experience. It's a very cool looking device. The technology is there. They're very well funded. But, you know, if you go online, you look at reviews, the flavor, the taste, the smoothness, it just doesn't, it's not getting very high marks. So, you know, we were always focused on the user experience first because we knew that we wanted to collect consumption and usage data. And, well, it's really hard to collect data from someone if they don't enjoy using your device, right? So for us, user experience was always number one, which is, and you know, even PAX, you know, PAX has some very rudimentary data collection right now as well. But, you know, yeah. I don't think a lot of people think the PAX era gives that great of a user experience either. And what we didn't want to do was to create a consumption and tracking app if it was just to, you know, have a checkbox as a feature that people would think, oh, this is pretty cool. It tracks my consumption. We really wanted it to, you know, add value. So some of the things that we're working on with our app is that we are going to start integrating it with point of sale applications as well as delivery applications. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, for example, if you buy a cartridge from, I don't know, let's just say Buds and Roses, we reconcile the purchase data with your consumption data. Well, Buds and Roses knows when you're down to your last, you know, 20 hits on your vape pen, yeah. And they could send you a, you know, a coupon code, you know, Blue Dream, 20% off, you know, in the next 24 hours. And we found that, you know, when you give someone a incentive when they're in purchasing mode, conversion rates skyrocket, you know?
Sure.
So those are some of the things that we are working on to add value for the consumption and usage tracking so that you're not just giving us the data that makes us more valuable, we're giving something back to you. And ultimately what we want to do is, you know, we've seen like terpenes and cannabinoids and all the different ways that it affects people. And what we started to see is like, you know, myrcene makes my wife sleepy, but it doesn't make me sleepy. And what we want to do with the consumption tracking is to start grouping people into different cohorts. So right now what we're seeing is there's probably about 7 different body types that will respond to different cannabis strains consistently. So if like Dan, if you and I start utilizing cannabis and giving feedback on like, okay, you know, this strain works for us in this way, you know, Red Congo makes me excited, it makes me creative. And then we could start building out these cohorts so that once we start getting your data, we could start being predictive about which strains will work for you, for your biochemistry versus just saying, okay, well, if you want energy, take a sativa. If you want to go to sleep, take an indica. Because as we know, if we just give random sativas and indicas to people, they don't always have that same predictive effect. And this is why I think the difference between a company like ours versus companies like Airgraph that are run by a bunch of PhDs and, you know, not heavy consumers is that they think that they could solve all of this with technology. And what I'm saying is it takes some technology and it takes a lot of user experience and interaction with the plant to really start understanding how it affects people. And if you're just looking at graphs and stuff, I think you could get like 70% of the way there, but the last 30% is really dependent on the user, how they consume the cannabis, what they do with the cannabis, and what their biochemistry is like and what they're sensitive to.
I would put the user experience way higher. I would put the user experience about 70%, like, because the reaction to different cannabinoids and terpenes is really different between different people. That number that you said, 7 types, is it like a solid number? This is something that you researched?
This is just kind of based on the initial data that we've been collecting ourselves. And there's another company that takes... they take a blood sample from you, and from your blood sample.
I know them, Len. We might interview them too. I know Len.
Yeah, Len May's company, exactly. Yeah. So I believe they have 8 cohorts of body types. So, you know, this correlates very closely to like what Len is doing. He's doing it even more accurately, right? Ours is more just like, okay, how do you feel? We're asking the users, and then he's actually going into the blood type and seeing which terpenes, which cannabinoids, you know, your body processes more quickly or, you know, doesn't seem to process well.
That's super interesting. So from what I understand from you, the future of, you know, the industry is to combine the best technology, whether it's data collecting or whatever technology there is available in the market, with the user experience, which is so important and essential for many users out there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting, like the cannabis industry right now, you know, I think it's hard to predict the future. I mean, just similarly in the way where, like, you know, with automation coming in, it's hard for college counselors to tell students or high school counselors, like, hey, you know, this is the type of major or this is the type of job that you're in. You know, things are moving really quickly. And, you know, our jobs as entrepreneurs is to, you know, just be students of the cannabis landscape and to really be up to date with what's changing and to understand consumer preferences. You know, like one of the things that everyone predicted was that, you know, this whole soccer mom demographic was going to be a big one. And, you know, I don't think that demographic has materialized, you know. So, you know, and this is why I think it's important to, you know, just stay on top of the industry. Obviously, the experts, you know, like follow what they're saying, but also, you know, just observe with your eyes as well. You know, like this, I think we probably spent the better half of like 18 months advertising to this soccer mom demographic that never materialized, you know. And,
you know, I really connect to what you said, because I think that reports and data are, you know, super important. I'm not saying that they're not, but, you know, going to the field, going to the events, seeing, you know, your devices with your demographics, testing it live in person, I think it's more valuable to see the, you know, their reaction and their experience rather than just read a report. If you don't mind, let's move to some personal questions. I'd love to know how, I mean, I think I know how you consume cannabis, but what are your favorite products?
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, I'll answer the question. You know, I vape and I eat a lot of edibles, you know, a lot of edibles. On the vaping side, you know, like some of my favorite extract companies are Friendly Farms, Blue River, 710 Labs, you know, Jenny's coming up. Papa Select. Ooh, you're really good. You're really good. Thank you. Thank you for that. Papa Select. And then on the edible.
Actually, we just interviewed Boris last week. So that's.
Oh, did you? Boris is a man. Boris is a man. And you know what? For a company that started off making topicals and salves, I mean, the Papa Select concentrates are so friggin' good. I meet up with Boris maybe like 2 or 3 times a year, and it's fantastic. It's fantastic. And then I eat a lot of edibles too, you know.
So like, what type of edibles? Like the fast-acting nanotechnology edibles or just the old-fashioned Kiva or Defonse or whatever?
Oh, man, great question. You know, like I definitely do not mind the old-fashioned style, you know, where you have to wait an hour or maybe even 90 minutes. But I definitely gravitate towards the nanotechnology. You know, a lot of these drinks that have the nanotechnology in it, you'll feel the onset within like 5 to 10 minutes. Yep. It's much easier to measure in dose. And yeah, you know, like, oh, man, I'm blanking on the name of this company.
Edible company?
It's an edible company. They're actually launching in July. Wait, it is July. So they're launching this month. The guy's name is Warren Bobrow, and he's also a writer.
Oh, I know Warren. I actually, he interviewed me in the 2 years ago. So yeah, I know Warren, and he's like the cocktail whisperer or something like
that. So he sent me a couple cans of his mixtures, and his background as a bartender and his ability to mix flavors, and then also he's a chef too, so his ability to blend all of these flavors, I mean, they're very pleasant tasting drinks, but it doesn't taste like La Croix, it doesn't taste like a soda, it doesn't taste like kombucha. It's just like a refreshing, like, you know, like I would drink this thing even if it didn't have any nano THC in it, you know, yeah. Like it's just, and that's where I was like, man, this is like really impressive when you're starting to create drinks where people would drink them for the sake of the flavor and not for just the effect.
Absolutely, yeah, and we'll dedicate an episode for drinks too, because I feel like this category is about to boom in the next few years.
In Israel, it doesn't exist at all. There's no drinks at all.
Well, probably in 5 years or so, you'll have some. Not sure if you know, Sable, Israel is about to legalize cannabis for the first time for recreational uses, hopefully. But let's move on. So I'm curious to know, what is your favorite artist or album of all times?
Oh, easy answer. I love Outkast. Outkast, the album that I love is Aquemini, which is their third album. No surprise, you know, that album came out when I was in college and I went to a bunch of raves and I did a bunch of mollies and listened to that album. So I think, you know, it's probably due to the fact that, you know, like it happened during like my freest time of my life. You know, obviously the music to me is very, very good, but, you know, I think there's something about albums that you listen to when you're coming of age that really impact you. And I remember Aquemini was one of those that, I mean, it was a rap album, but there was like a lot of like kind of like psychedelic type like background music that they use. So, you know, I went from like listening to like really hardcore hip hop to like being more interested in like some of these more like funk and psychedelic sounds that I heard. And that ultimately led me to like look more into psychedelics, which is, you know, my kind of main area of interest right now.
So other than your own company, what else or who else in the industry excites you the most and why?
Ooh, man, what a great question. Okay, so I've been in the cannabis industry on and off since 2003. That's when I started selling vaporizers for this other guy called VripTech. He's from my hometown. So, you know, kind of just being in the industry, and especially like the last few years, to me, even though like there's like more technology being added on top, it just seems to me like the same idea with like small evolutionary advances versus anything that's truly revolutionary, you know. But if I had to pick one, you know, maybe I would say the people that are doing like the nano infusions, you know, like companies like Virtosa.
Because
you know, like edibles has always been something that people, it was like playing Russian roulette, you know, you're like, all right, I eat an edible, an hour later, if I don't feel anything, I'll eat the other half of the edible, and then like 15 minutes after that.
Everybody's got the story. Got that story. That's
exactly. So I feel like this nano emulsions that they're doing, and the quicker uptake, you know, I feel like that is quite revolutionary for this category. Otherwise, like you said, Yair, you know, everyone, like almost everyone that has a I quit cannabis story, it starts with, well, I ate this edible, right? And I'm like, oh shit. And, you know, I myself, I've had a lot of those experiences, but, you know, I'm at the point where I could take like 200 or 300 milligrams and still be okay. So like, I'm just like, okay, my body is like conditioned to have these roller coaster rides. But I do remember the first time I got on the roller coaster, I was like, dude, I'm never going to eat a brownie again, because that was way too scary. It was way too long. And it was so tasty that I wanted to keep eating them.
No, well, I agree about the nanotechnology. I think it's a game changer. I think it makes edibles be more of a social substance rather than, you know, something that you need to wait 60 minutes or more. So yeah, I'm with you, and that's why I think cannabis drinks are the next big thing.
Actually, you know what? I'm gonna let the cat out of the bag here a little bit. Like, we're working on something super innovative over here, but you just think, if a vape pen and a Puffco Peak had a baby, and that baby you could carry in your pocket, that's the next thing that I'm working on. So exactly.
Ooh. Okay, yeah. Any dates? Release date or not yet?
You know what? We just got our patents approved, so the first samples are being made. But the best thing is, I don't think this product is going to cost more than $40. Have you guys used the G-Pen Connect before?
I did use the Connect and the new Roam as well, which are great devices.
Yeah. So just think about G-Pen Connect, Roam, and Puffco Peak all mashed into one $40 device.
Interesting.
Oh, man.
Interesting. Okay.
That's a hard promise to follow up on, man.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to it.
You know, well, here's the difference is now I have my own factories in China now. You know, so companies like GPen, they do their design and they have a factory make it. A company like Jupiter or C-Cell, they have an American design company. Then they go to China and then find a company to make it. So these are all margins that everyone needs to share, right, in the supply chain. And because we have our own factories, you know, we don't have any middlemen to deal with. And we also have a very, very tight control over our supply chain and materials so that we could source and get things at a much cheaper rate. And our factory is part of a much larger factory. So when you could put in orders with larger companies for larger inventory sizes, well, that just allows you to, you know, get economies of scale and lower the cost for everything. So we're really trying to leverage the fact that we have our own factories, we have our own engineers. We're not, there's no like lost in translation from English to Mandarin. You know, having a very strong supply chain and being able to leverage economies of scale, you know, this is what is going to allow us to create devices that are hyper competitive, that are super affordable. And, you know, we never wanted someone to be like, okay, I spent $40. This is cool for $40. We wanted them to be like, dude, why the hell did we spend $250 for this device when we could have got this one for $40?
Definitely looking forward to it. So, Sable, we're both are proud Canadad.
Three of us are Canadad.
Actually, three of us are Canadad. Sorry.
Yeah.
And I know that for me, it's kind of a difficult topic to talk about. So I'm curious to know, how did your family accept your cannabis consumption and career? And what age, in your opinion, is the right age to start talking to your children about cannabis and its different uses?
Very good question. This is probably my favorite question out of all of them. So my family, you know, my family always knew that I marched to the beat of my own drum. You know, like they're just like, I was like the Asian kid that was like bad at math, that was good at English, you know, very different from like most of my cousins. And, you know, they just always knew, like, I always wanted to do something that was like different than everybody else. So when I told them I was going to be in the cannabis industry, you know, they were concerned about the legality of it, but they weren't like shocked that I would go do something strange like that. Now, the one thing that made them totally accept cannabis was my father is a pharmacist. When he saw Dr. Sanjay Gupta on CNN talking about cannabis in a positive way, you know, he saw another person of color that was a doctor saying great things about cannabis, and that really changed his perspective on it. And my father-in-law is he's a fairly famous chemist. He came up with the process of how to detect jaundice in newborn babies. And he was also very pro-cannabis. So two of these people that my father really respected also were pro-cannabis. So that was kind of like what really made them go from, oh, Sabo's just being Sabo to, oh, wait, Sabo's actually doing something really positive, you know. And for the last four Thanksgivings, we've had the Vape XL Evo out at the, we have a bar at our house. So it's at the same table where the bar is. So nice. People could grab drinks or they could take dabs on the Vape XL. It's completely normalized in our household. There's teenagers, there's young children as young as like two or three, all the way up to like, you know, young college kids that are at the family Thanksgiving dinners. And, you know, like we don't hide anything. We don't glorify it. And they're not really like, I mean, I think when the adults are doing it, it just seems like less cool to them, you know, like they don't think like Uncle Sabo's cool because he smokes weed. They think like weed is less cool because Uncle Sabo smokes it, you know. And then as far as my family goes, I mean, my oldest daughter is 9, my youngest is 5. We've always been very honest with them what cannabis is used for, how I use it, how other people abuse it. And we really talk to them about the pros and cons of cannabis. You know, like I'm not one to say like cannabis is completely harmless. I have tons of stoner friends that could have been much more in their lives, but they smoke themselves into just being satisfied with, you know, doing the minimum to not get fired. And in many of these cases, I feel very sad because while they have enjoyed their time with cannabis, you know, they also have like very little recollection of like what happened over the last 20 years and how much time has passed, because they've just been stoned all day, every day. And that's not to say I don't wake and bake, because there are days where I absolutely wake and bake too, but you know, it's just not what I do all the time. And ultimately, you know, what we really try to push is what we call conscious cannabis consumption, you know, which is every time you consume cannabis, you know, just be aware of why you're doing it and set an intention. Like, if I'm going to work out before cannabis, I'll like just kind of breathe in first and think to myself, okay, I'm going to work out. I want the cannabis to help with, you know, pain management. I want the cannabis to help with lowering my inflammation. And then I consume the cannabis. And sometimes, you know, sometimes the intention is I just want to get high as fuck, you know, and I just go, okay, sorry, I don't know if we could swear.
Definitely
you can swear as much as you want.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. You know, I just want to get super duper high. And if that's the intention, that's okay too. But at least I'm aware of that. Whereas there's definitely been points of my life, like when I come from work, I'll always take a dab. And even on days where like I didn't feel like taking a dab, it was like so habitual, you know. So I wanted to be conscious of my cannabis use and not just kind of be like, you know, like a Westworld host that's running on some program that like every day at 5 o'clock, you know, I just load up the dab and I take a dab even when I didn't want to feel like, or even when I didn't feel like it. So yeah, in that aspect, you know, we really push this conscious use of cannabis. I personally, with my children, you know, with their ages, like I believe that by the time they were conscious, most of America would be accepting of this. So I just always taught them that this is something normal. This is something that adults use. When you're ready to use it, you know, just come talk to daddy and we'll talk about like when it's appropriate for you. But as far as like when I think kids are old enough to use it, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, I started at the age of 21, which is pretty late. Most of my friends were like smoking in like middle school, high school. They've all grown up to be good contributing members to society, you know, engineers at Google, product managers at Yelp, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I've also read studies where the brain, you know, continues to develop to the age of 25, and that doing things that alter your consciousness before them, you know, could inhibit the brain development. So, but I haven't seen enough data to think one way or the other. But as I said, you know, like some of my friends that have been smoking since we were like 12 or 13, more or less.
My wife, like, man, my wife. Started smoking when she's 14, and she's a big shot in Apple right now. So I totally hear you.
Yeah, exactly. So I see evidence that is counter to that as well. But ultimately, I think for me, it's, I would like someone to get to an age where, you know, they're at least somewhat aware of themselves, their surroundings, and have some sense of responsibility. Because, you know, anytime you're shifting your consciousness, it's not just, you know, being aware of what you're doing and how you might be affecting people, is that many times it lowers your own vulnerability and you could be taken advantage as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And well said. I'm happy you said it. So before we wrap up, anything that we can do for you? Are you guys raising money or recruiting? Tell people how they can find you.
Yeah, you know, the good news is right now the business is solid. We don't need to raise money. But if you guys are looking for awesome products, go check out www.burnerlab. That's spelled BRNRLAB.com. We've released two devices, the Alpha and the Seed. One is $25, the other is $20. So these will make really great gifts. So if you know anyone that is into vaping, or if you know anyone that wants, you know, a better device to vape on, you know, please just give us a look, read the reviews. And if it looks good, you know, take a chance on us. And we offer a money back guarantee, just like with the Vape XL Evo, because we're super confident that once you try it, you'll like it. And that's why we have it there. So if you guys could support companies that, in my opinion, are doing things in a positive way for the cannabis industry, I would love, you know, your listeners to support us.
Absolutely. Do you want to plug some of your social media too? Instagram, Facebook?
Yeah. Actually, so on the company side, Instagram is at BurnerLab, BRNRLAB. And then for me, I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I even signed up for a TikTok account. I'm at Seibo Shen, SEIBOSHEN. And yeah, man, now I know I'm really old because when I turned on TikTok, I had no idea how to use it. I had no idea what type of videos I was supposed to put on. But the interesting thing is, man, I think the Chinese people that invented TikTok, there's like bots on there or something, because I produced a video of me chopping a piece of wood. It has like 40,000 views. I have no idea why anyone would want to watch me chop a piece of wood, but hey, I think this is the new normal.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll need to wait a few more years to see if it is the new normal. But Feibo Shen, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank
it was a
much.
Real pleasure. And I hope to see you again soon, of course.
Yeah, hey, thank you both. I mean, I really enjoy talking to you guys. This is a great way to start my morning. I feel invigorated, like more awake. I guess whenever people ask me to talk about myself, it feels good. So thank you guys.
For sure, for sure.
טוב, מה אתה אומר, יאיר? למדת משהו חדש?
אני למדתי הרבה מאוד דברים חדשים, וקיבלתי השראה לעשות כמה דברים חדשים. הבן אדם מוצא חן בעיניי מאוד.
תשמע, זה רק נותן לך מושג כללי על איפה התעשייה הזאת הולכת, כמה קדמה יש בתעשייה הזאת, כמה מוחות מבריקים כמו סייבו בעצם מניעים את התעשייה הזאת קדימה, וכמה וייפינג זאת השיטת העתיד לשימוש בקנאביס, דרך שאיפה כמובן.
לא העתיד, ההווה, שההווה צריך להיות עידוי ולא רישום של קנאביס.
דיברנו על זה, ואני, אתה יודע, זה מבחינתי wishful thinking, וכבר זה עכשיו קורה לי ולך ולהרבה משתמשים אחרים שבחרו בעידוי ולא בעישון, אבל אם תסתכל על כל העולם, או על רוב המשתמשים שקיימים בעולם, רובם עדיין מעשנים את הקנאביס שלהם. תסכים איתי שגם בישראל זה המצב, רוב האנשים מעשנים את הקנאביס. כרגע אנחנו סוג של יוצא דופן, יוניקורנס או איך שלא תקרא לזה, אבל אנחנו צריכים גם דרך הפודקאסט הזה ודרך הערוצים שלנו לחנך אנשים, לידע אותם, שיבינו למה עידוי עדיף בהרבה על עישון. ואני חושב שבפרק הזה...
אתה יודע מתי אנשים מתחילים לעבור לעידוי? כשיש לך קנאביס טוב עם ריח וטרפנים, אז עידוי הופך להיות הדבר האמיתי. עד שאין לך קנאביס איכותי, קשה לשכנע אנשים לעבור לעידוי.
אין ספק, אבל זה נשמע שיש לכם קנאביס די איכותי בארץ, לפחות בשוק השחור.
בשוק השחור יש קנאביס מעולה, למי שמקושר, למי שיודע, יש בהחלט קנאביס מצוין. גם ברפואים, בעיקר עם כל היבוא הזה מחול, מתחיל להיות פה פתאום קנאביס שלא מריח כמו פופקורן שרוף.
לגמרי, אז אתה רוצה קצת לעבור על המסלול של סייבו ועל הנקודות העיקריות של הפרק הזה?
כן, אז בוא נעשה ריקאפ קצר למה היה בפרק, אתה יכול להתחיל?
כן, אז סייבו בעצם נכנס לעולם העידוי בקולג', הוא היה אתלט, ואגב, ניתן סקופ קטן שהוא לא דיבר עליו בפרק, הוא גם היה כפיל לסרטים הוליוודיים, הוא ביצע כל מיני פעלולים מסוכנים כאלו ואחרים, ככה שהבריאות שלו זה משהו שהיה מאוד חשוב לו. הוא ניסה בערך 100 מכשירי עידוי שונים, והמכשיר הראשון שהוא קנה לא עבד כל כך טוב, רוב המכשירים שהוא קנה וניסה לא עבדו כמו שהוא רצה, כעובד הייטק הוא חשב על פתרון עתידי שאולי גם יכניס לו כסף, לו ולמשפחה שלו, זאת אומרת זה היה יותר מין סוג של פנטזיה, תחשוב על, אנחנו מדברים על תחילת אמצע שנות ה-2000, קנאביס רפואי בחיתוליו, תרבות הקנאביס בחיתוליה יחסית, כל עולם העידוי הוא כמעט לא קיים, הייתי אומר. אני חושב שהחברה היחידה שהייתה קיימת בזמנו זה וולקיינו, ועוד כמה... כן, סטורס אנד ביקלס, ועוד כמה, כמובן, חיקויים כאלו ואחרים שהגיעו מהמזרח. תה העידוי התחילו לצוץ פה ושם, אבל זו היו מכשירים שהם יחסית מאוד מיושנים מבחינה טכנולוגית, ולא סיפקו את החוויה שהצרכן הממוצע חיפש, בעיקר לא המעשן הממוצע שחיפש את ה... אתה יודע, השחטות, העננים הגדולים האלה. וזהו, זה בעצם משם הוא התחיל.
אוקיי, אני רוצה גם לקחת לצד אחורה לגביו, שכאילו הבן אדם היה בהייטק, מסתבר שהוא עשה איזה 5 אקזיטים, והוא אמר משפט מאוד יפה, שהצלחה ללא סיפוק היא הכישלון האולטימטיבי, וזה משהו שהוא הבין אחרי האקזיט השני או השלישי שלו, שהוא כאילו יש לו רק יותר כסף בבנק, אבל הוא לא מרוצה מזה, אז הוא החליט שהוא הולך all in לעולם העידוי, ומתחיל לתכנן את המכשיר שהוא באיזה מפנטז עליו.
והמכשיר הראשון היה אותו מכשיר ששינה לי את החיים בשם Vape Excel Evo, מכשיר שמשלב גם Convection Vaporization, שזה בעצם עידוי באמצעות אוויר חם. ובנוסף לזה הוא הוסיף גם כלי מים סוג של בנק שמתלבש על אותו וייפורייזר, שנותן את הפילטרציה הנוספת של המים, גם שהחוויה תהיה יותר עדינה, טעימה, שומרת מאוד על הטעמים בגלל שמדובר בזכוכית, אז בעצם השילוב המושלם בין וייפורייזר ובנג.
כן, הוא מסתבר עבד על המכשיר הזה 3.5 שנים, ובעצם עובדה שהוא לא איש טכני, הוא פשוט התייעץ עם כל מיני אנשים בפורום של עידוי, ובסופו של דבר הוא בנה את המכשיר, ואני חייב להגיד שאם זה המכשיר הראשון שלו, בן אדם עשה עבודה מעולה מההתחלה.
ממש, וגם הקיף את עצמו בצוות טוב, וזה, אתה יודע, גם כלל שנזכיר ליזמים שבינינו, שאתה לא יכול לדעת הכל, ואתה תמיד צריך להקיף את עצמך באנשים מוכשרים, שיכולים לעשות את הדברים שאתה מעולם לא תדע לעשות. אני חושב שזה גם קרדיט שמגיע לו, לדעת לבחור אנשים ולדעת איך לנהל אותם.
אז הוא בעצם, הוא מסביר על הבדל בין שריפה לעידוי, שבשריפה יש שינוי כימי. השינוי הכימי הזה יוצר עפר, פחם וזפת, לעומת זאת בעידוי אין שינוי כימי, יש רק שינוי של מצב הצבירה של החומר. בעצם כל המולקולות שאנחנו רוצים בקנאביס הופכות ממוצק לגז. ובגלל זה כל החומרים הרעילים שנמצאים בעשן לא נמצאים בעדים, בגלל שאין את השינוי הכימי. עכשיו, מחקר שנורמל עשו בשנת 1997, השוו עדים של עידוי לבין עשן של קנאביס, על ידי זה שמילאו בלונים בעדים ובעשן ובדקו מה יש בהם. בבלון של העדים היה 97% THC, 2% מימן ואחוז אחד של שונות, ובבלון של העשן היה 13% THC ו-87% זפת וחומרים מסרטנים אחרים.
יפה, אז מה אתם מעדיפים לעשן, מאזינים שלנו? זפת וחומרים מסרטנים או טרפנים וקנאבידואידים? שאלה רטורית, לא?
לגמרי. בואו נדבר קצת על הנקודות שלך, למה עידוי יותר טוב מעישון.
אז נתחיל בנקודה שכרגע דיברנו עליה, פשוט אנחנו רוצים פחות חומרים רעילים בגוף ויותר חומרים פעילים. סיבה שנייה, יעיל וזול יותר לשימוש, זאת אומרת, קח ג'וינט של 0.5 גרם, תשרוף אותו, ואז תיקח את אותו ג'וינט ותפורר אותו לתוך וייפורייזר משוכלל. מבחינת ניצול החומרים ויחס ה-TAR ל-THC, הניצול יהיה הרבה יותר טוב בווייפורייזר. זאת אומרת שתצטרך לקנות פחות חומר לטווח ארוך. אז לטווח הארוך, מעבר לזה שאתה קונה מכשיר ב-100 או בכמה מאות דולרים, ויש הוצאה ראשונית יחסית גדולה, אתה מכסה את ההוצאה הזאת יחסית די מהר. סיבה שלישית, טעים יותר לצריכה, משהו שאנחנו כל הזמן מדגישים באירועים שלנו. ברגע שאתה מעשן, בגלל אותם חומרים מסרטנים, אתה בעצם מכניס עשן שרוף לריאות שלך ולחך שלך. ברגע שאתה מעייד בטמפרטורה של בין 330 ל-420 פרנהייט, שזה בצלזיוס משהו בין 170 ל-200 פלוס מעלות, אתה מנצל את אותם טרפנים שדיברנו עליהם בפרק עם נדב, אותם שמנים אתרים שנותנים את הריח והטעם הנפלא שיש בקנאביס, ובעצם נהנה מהמוצר שאתה צורך, במקום להרגיש עשן שרוף או טעם של פופקורן. עכשיו סייבו הדגיש נקודה מעניינת, ואמר שבשביל להעריך את אותה נקודת הטעם, ולהבין שאתה מעשן זפת, מעשן בעצם צריך להפסיק לעשן לשבועיים ולעדות באופן אקסקלוסיבי. אחרי שהוא מעדה באופן אקסקלוסיבי למשך שבועיים, בעצם החך שלו מתקייל. החך מתקייל, ואז בעצם אחרי שאתה מכניס ג'וינט לפה, לאחר שבועיים או מספר שבועות, פתאום הג'וינט מגעיל אותך. הטעם מגעיל אותך, הריח שהוא משאיר לך בבגדים או על הגוף מגעיל אותך. לכן אני חושב שזה חשוב למי שכן רוצה להפסיק לעשן ולהתחיל לעייד במקום, זה באמת להקציב לעצמו תקופת זמן של לפחות שבועיים, שבה הוא מעייד באופן אקסקלוסיבי, ואז הטבע פשוט יעשה את שלו. אז טעם וריח. הסיבה הבאה מאפשר מדרג טמפרטורות רחב, ובעקבות זה גם השפעות שונות בהתאם. דיברנו גם בפרק עם נדב, שכל טרפן או כל קנאבידואיד, יש לו נקודת רתיחה שונה. זאת אומרת שהוא משתחרר כגז בטמפרטורה שונה. כל הרכיבים בצווח הקנאביס, שיש מעל 400 כאלו, יש להם נקודות רתיחה שונות. ברגע שאתה מעדה באופן כללי על טמפרטורה נמוכה, החוויה לרוב תהיה חוויה מתונה יותר, עדינה יותר, ולרוב לא מאוד מעייפת גופנית. וההפך, ככל שתעדה בטמפרטורה גבוהה יותר, לרוב החוויה תהיה יותר אינטנסיבית, יותר גופנית, ובעצם דומה יותר במהותה לחוויית אישון. לכן אני ממליץ למשל למי שרוצה להשתמש לקנאביס כתרופה לשינה טובה, עידוי בטמפרטורה גבוהה יותר מתאים למטרה הזאת. לכן המדרג הטמפרטורות וההשפעות השונות זה משהו שלמעשן הרגיל אין אפשרות לבחור את הטמפרטורה שהוא שורף בה את החומר, או בכלל לשלוט בהשפעה של החומר שהוא שורף. אז זאת סיבה חשובה נוספת. הסיבה האחרונה שיכולה להיות רלוונטית להורים שבינינו ולא רק, זה העובדה שאתה מעדה קנאביס, אין כמעט ריח, והפעולה עצמה היא הרבה יותר דיסקרטית בהשוואה לעישון. מי כמונו יודעים שאתה מדליק ג'וינט, בערך כל השכונה, כל הבלוק שלך יודע שהדלקת אותו, בעיקר אם כיוון הרוח הולך לכיוונם, העשן נדבק לרהיטים, לבגדים, ובאמת עובר עם חתימה מאוד גבוהה ממקום למקום. לעומת זאת עידוי, בדיוק ההפך, הוא כמעט נטול ריח, ויהיה מאוד קשה לזהות עידוי אפילו ממרחק של חדר ליד.
כן, זה מתמדך מהר גם, כאילו השן יושב לך בחדר שעות וימים, עדים אחרי כמה דקות כבר לא ידעו שקרה שם משהו בכלל.
נכון, נכון. אז בעיקר אם יש לכם ילדים, או שיש לכם אנשים שהם רגישים לריח של קנאביס, או שאתם מארחים אורחים שרגישים לריח הזה, מהבחינה הזאת עידוי זה כמו קסם, פשוט מעלים את כל אותו סירחון שאנשים רגישים אליו. וזהו, ואלו היו חמש סיבות ללמה כדאי לעדות במקום לעשן.
כן, ואני מקווה שתשיגו וויד מספיק טוב שמצדיק לעבור לעידוי ולא לעישון.
לגמרי. עוד משהו שאנחנו רוצים להזכיר מהפרק של סייבו?
הוא דיבר על איזשהו מוצר עתידי ומרגש שמדברים עליו, השילוב של הווייפן לפף קופיק, אז אני מאוד סקרן לגבי זה, אבל מעבר לזה, לא.
אז אנחנו נמשיך להזכיר את נושא העידוי ולמה זה חשוב, נמשיך לקדם את הנושא, גם בכל מה שקשור בלגליזציה בארץ, בהמשך לאותם נקודות שדיברתי עליהם, ולנקודה שדיברנו בפרק הראשון, אחד האויבים הכי גדולים מבחינת דעת הקהל על קנאביס זה פעולת העישון. עישון הוא נגטיבי, הוא מצטייר כפעולה לא בריאה ושלילית, ולכן צריך להוציא אותו מארגז הכלים. אני לא אומר לחלוטין, אבל כמעט לחלוטין. אני כן חושב שמגיע לו איזה מקום של כבוד בהיסטוריה של שימוש בקנאביס, כי בכל זאת זאת הייתה דרך שימוש העיקרית ועדיין.
יש מסורת.
בדיוק, יש מסורת, אבל עם זאת יש גם קדמה וטכנולוגיה, והיה לנו לשכוח את זה. ואני בעד לעשות את מה שבריא לגוף שלך ומה שטעים לו יותר. וכן, פעם ב, שאתה יושב עם החבר'ה שלך ומדליקים ג'וינט, אז זה בסדר. אבל כאורך חיים, אני מאמין שעידוי, לפחות בשאיפה, זו הדרך ללכת איתה. ומי שלא רוצה לשאוף, פשוט שיוכל לו ישתה את זה, זה גם דרכים בריאות.
סבבה לגמרי, אז אנחנו ניפגש בפרק הבא?
בהחלט.
מעולה, עד הפרק הבא, מקלי ועד כוש.
שעה בינתיים.
ביי.
תודה שהזנתם לתוכנית. אם נהניתם ממנה, ומהאורחים שהבאנו לכם, נשמח אם תדרגו אותנו מ5 כוכבים. כל דירוג או ביקורת חיובית, יעזרו לנו להמשיך להביא לכם את האורחים הכי שווים בתעשיית הקנאביס. יש לכם הצעה לאורח או נושא מעניין? נשמח לקבל בקשות והצעות לגבי נושאים או אורחים שמעניינים אתכם, המאזינים שלנו. אנא כתבו אלינו from kali to kush@gmail.com from kali to kush במילה אחת, @gmail.com. אל תיקחו את האינפורמציה שמוגשת בתוכנית כעצה רפואית או עסקית. עצרו קשר עם הרופא שלכם או כל גוף רפואי מוקשה אם אתם מעוניינים לצרוך קנאביס לשימוש רפואי. התוכנית נעשית מתוך אהבה ותשוקה אמיתית לצמח הקנאביס, אך אינה מעודדת קנייה לא חוקית של מוצריו. תודה על ההזנה, נשתמע בקרוב. צ'או.